everyone. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about Hotel, part two of episode two, Chutes and Ladders. I'm very excited to introduce you to a shitty old ghost, and I'm sure so is Slow Beef and Miss Shadow Lovely. Hey, team.
Can't wait.
Yay, we're going to get to meet the deuterantagonist, tertiary antagonist, quadri antagonist. I'm not sure what level of antagonist this guy's on, but I don't know. His vibes don't seem too bad. Shall we just jump into it?
What's sure. That?
Yeah. So we last time saw, I'm forgetting the name of the model man, Tristan. I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And he is such an extreme addict that could not possibly hold a job that he's broken into someone's room at random because he smelled cocaine, which, like, not a thing, by the way. Not a thing you can, unless you're like a dog. Then, like, maybe. But unless this guy's like a dog, no, I don't think he would. But he's running around in there. Just like knocking shit off the shelves, being like, I smell drugs. And a funky fella walks out, a very old timey man.
That's him. Yep. That's the old timey man. Who could he be?
Evan Peters.
It's Evan Peters. And yes. It's like, we've only heard about one character who's an old timey man. So it's like pretty blatantly that old timey man. Yeah. I don't think we need to like bury this lead any farther.
No, this is James March, the guy who built the hotel. And he's got kind of an old timey voice. You know, he doesn't say see like Cagney, but he kind of talks like a little like that, you know. He's your standard, I think, like kind of Howard Hughes kind of guy in a way, right? Like he's got like before he like went totally off the deep end, but like he's, you know, he's like a rich, you know, he's wearing a suit and he's very like sharply dressed and talks kind of quickly, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah. It's almost like Evan Peters playing kind of like a funny character. And like, it's, you know, that kind of like supposed to be disturbing because it's horrific, but it's kind of funny and blah, 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 you know, kind of thing. But it's weird. I don't, Ty, you're a fan of James March. You liked him.
I love his work. Yeah, you got it, man. I'm like his number one. I'm like into his whole vibe. Whatever he does next, I fully endorse it. Top to bottom, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, I was going to say, like, I wasn't a huge fan of his, but I knew you, I thought you were kind of like a little more into the character.
Love this guy.
Yeah. Been following his work for a long time.
I do like this guy. I like that he just, like, it's very fun to have this old-timey character in the middle of everything else. Like, it's, like, a little surreal having him just, like, hit the table at once. But, yeah, he's very of himself and is very, like, cool with what he does. Because, yeah, he kind of just gets pulled to the side and he's like, hey, you look like a dashing young lad who likes getting into business. What kind of things do you like getting up to? He's like, where are the drugs at? He's like, oh, come on, stay around for a second. Come, maid, please. And like a maid brings out a lady all tied up and throws her onto the bed. And then Tristan, Mr. Model Man, goes, actually, bondage is boring. And this is where they kind of like won me over a little with James March, because James March goes, I agree, and then shoots the lady, like, just kills her right away. He's just like, yeah, I agree, bondage is boring. Check this shit out. It's like such an absolutely insane. Okay, I guess what it is first, though, is right. He says bondage is boring, and then James is like, oh, yeah, good point. Shoot her with this gun. Here's a gun. Kill this woman. And he goes, no, I'm not. Are you fucking crazy? And then James goes, no, I just was feeling myself. I'll kill her.
He does. He's like, I didn't want to be rude. I didn't want to not offer the guest the opportunity to kill the lady with a gun. I'm obviously going to do it.
Yeah. He's in the hospitality
industry. I'm going to
do
the drugs. It's just, it's rude not to offer. Right. I don't want to be a jerk.
We consider it an amenity here, really, you know? But
So James shoots this dude, and Tristan then immediately goes, damn, the drugs were too good, I gotta go. And like sprints out, and then when he gets in the elevator, Lady Gaga's just in the elevator and is like, hey, me and my husband really liked your vibe.
Except for not my husband, because I hate him now. I've decided I hate that guy.
I hate my husband now. I like your vibe. My husband hates your vibe.
honestly, I feel bad. I don't remember what that guy's name is, but the other guy, the other handsome brunette man, because that's they're basically interchangeable at this point.
Is that Donovan?
Donovan. He's
Donovan.
He's
that's
been
right.
having a rough week. Like, I understand why he's so tilted. I know why he doesn't want to leave. Like, I feel like she's being a bit unreasonable. He got evicted from his house, kind of. But he still gets to live there, and, like, she's being weird about it. Like, he's just having a rough go of it. Now she's going to make this guy her new, like, sister husband? I don't know. It's a lot. I want to, before we move on to the next scene, which is the most insane thing that they could put in the television show, I'd like to remind everybody that a few moments ago in the TV show, because we're on part two of our episode, but it is still the middle of an episode, the detective, John, his daughter, who is maybe 7, 8 years old, was dropped off at the hotel for some reason to hang out with her dad, even though he's at the hotel to stay away from his wife and daughter. So the serial killer that is actively antagonizing him does not have access to them. So she's there. And then another guy's kid, the guy who now owns the hotel, the guy who makes fashion clothes for everybody, his kid took her into the basement pool that had the glass caskets for the vampire children. I know it just sounds like I'm saying a bunch of nonsense words, but that's not even the most important bit. She's at the hotel, which is, I would assume, quite far from home and is in downtown LA. She got home somehow. And now she's on a city bus by herself. That's not concerning to anybody for some reason. It will be later, but I don't know. This is it's on par with, it wouldn't be as bad if we already weren't having that she was being at the hotel with her dad when she was specifically separated from her father to protect her. You'd think they would be maybe paying a little more attention to where she is at home.
Also, the fact that, like, he already lost one child from her not being actively observed. Because it's, like, one thing, right? If, like, I was riding buses and shit when I was this age. It's fine. It used to be fine, at least. But, like, it's more of, like, he has a very clear reason he would not be okay with this. And it's very irrational for him to just be like, yeah, get on the bus, sweetie. It'll be fine.
That's the thing. Without this, you could say, like, as a nitpicky thing, like, look, they live in the suburb, they're going to let their kid on. But this is, like, insane. You would never, ever, ever, you know, be
not
like,
downtown LA.
Right. You can go in unsupervised. It's fine. What are the odds of two kids, right? I mean, come on.
Speaking of two kids, don't forget that her brother got yoinked off of a moving carousel. So I feel like, I don't know, which do you think is more likely? Kid being abducted on a public bus or kid getting yoinked off of a moving carousel?
I'm just saying there's the gambler's fallacy here, right? Where it's just like, I'm not going to lose both kids, surely. Yeah. Especially because that first one's such a long shot, you know? I'm good. This second kid's great. I can, we can just send her off to do her own shit, you know, whatever. It's fine.
And then, as is common in my life, I am humbled yet again by statistics and reminded that statistics don't owe you shit.
Exactly.
Inherently. Yeah. Real cool way to find out that 1% does mean it can still happen. Yeah.
Yeah. She apparently got on the bus herself. The really confusing part is we don't see what happens after she, like, sees her brother in the casket and then, like, gets jump scared by him waking up, because then she's just, like, back at home. So I guess she just went back upstairs after seeing her brother and then, like, didn't tell anybody and then decided to get back on the bus to go back to the hotel. I feel like this is one of, they do this all the time, and I guess they hope that if they go really quickly by it, nobody will question it, but they do this all the time where they will jump cut to a character being in a new place without any kind of context as to what happened between that point and where they ended up. Because if you think about it for even a second, it'd be like, well, they probably wouldn't have just gone home, or they probably wouldn't have just, like, done that. They would have been like, Dad, you gotta come downstairs. My little brother's in the basement. Like,
right?
She wouldn't have just gone home and then been like, I'm gonna go back, and then later I'll tell my dad. Like, no, she would have gone. Like, what happened? Did she go upstairs and was just like, I'm gonna keep this information to myself for some reason? It doesn't make any sense. So instead they just have her teleport back home, which is weird and is, like, doesn't really make any sense from a logistic standpoint. But now she's going back to the hotel, I guess, to visit the vampire babies. But when she gets there, they're not there. And she somehow wanders into the Tetris room. She finds it and sees her brother there. And he's like, why'd you wait so long to come back? And she's like, you remember me? And he's like, of course I do. And she's like, oh, sick. So you're definitely my brother then. Hey, do you want to like go home then? And he's like, no, it kicks ass here. I like playing Tetris on the walls and eating M&Ms that have been painstakingly put into separate jars by color. Which raises the question, do vampires eat M&Ms? Is that what they're endorsing here? Is that if you're like a baby vampire, you still like chocolate?
Do you think do have to sort them. If you throw a whole bag of M&Ms or Skittles at a vampire, they can't approach you until they've sorted them all by color. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
It's like the counting rice thing for a new generation.
Yeah. Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah, suddenly it makes a lot more sense.
Orderly M&Ms just brings the children peace. They love it. They go, great. That's, I don't need to interact with those M&Ms.
That's why they like Tetris.
Yeah, they like sorting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, inherently an ordered race? What are vampires?
Species?
Whatever.
Like, it's crazy in a way if you think about it, because if they did that, let's just say the authors, the writers of the show were, sorted M&Ms and Tetris, and it's, like, the counting rice thing, but for the modern era, and you're like, that's really smart. And then they're like, but how do we get the girl to see her brother in the basement, not tell the father, then get back to the hotel by herself to see him up at the Tetris room, and then get home logistically? And they're like, I don't know, she went on the bus, just throw it in, who gives a shit? It's like, well, why did you spend all the time on this? Then priorities.
Yeah, why did she need to leave the hotel at all? Why couldn't we have just like had this? I guess because like her seeing them in the coffins wouldn't have like made sense for her having this conversation in the Tetris room. It feels like this was supposed to be a one or the other type scene. It was either supposed to be the caskets in the pool or the Tetris room. And instead they were like, no, we like both of those scenes too much to get rid of them. So just have her arbitrarily leave the hotel for some reason and come back on the bus.
I can kind of sort of get it for what happens in a bit, but maybe we'll keep going just because it's like, then, you know what I mean? Because, like, a future event, I'm like, I guess you couldn't do this quite a thing at the hotel, so you'd need this break so that she could be home, but it's still wacky to me. Because, like,
because
she goes to, this part's going to annoy me too later, but, like, she's like, well, listen, can I at least show mom and dad that you're, like, alive? And she, like, leans in to take a selfie, and then he's like, oh, wait, you're leaning in, that's a neck with blood, ha! She's like, whoa, hey, easy, all right. And then she, like, kind of just like, I'm out of here, and then she leaves, you know. So, but then she gets jump scared by Sally, who decides to like, I didn't think this is actually pretty gross. Like, she kind of like gnashes her teeth, but they actually like break and come apart, you know, like,
yeah,
it's like, ah, and they're just like, ah, and
there's like blood spilling out of her mouth, and it's like kind of an effective bit of like body horror stuff. It just why?
Yeah, why would Sally do this?
Would be if it made any sense, but it really is just like a is this anything type moment where it's like, well, that character doesn't really have any motivation to be doing this other than to be an asshole, I guess.
Well, didn't she even say like, I love kids, as if to be like, I love pranking kids with my distressed, cracked, broke, bloody teeth or whatever, you know?
Yeah, so she says, like, kids are the best. And I'm like, something. Are there a lot of children coming into the Hotel Cortez? Like, what does that mean? Also, like, are we supposed to, like, are we supposed to be happy about this? Because she almost does it in, like, I don't know, this is a stretch. She does it in, like, a Beetlejuice way where, like, you're supposed to be like, oh, like, she's so quirky and, like, funny for being evil. And it's like, no, she's just fucking weird, dude. Like, she's just being a weird asshole for no reason.
Right?
If you wanted to do a character like that, I think it would be better to have them, like, do a magic trick, but, like, the magic trick's, like, fucked up at the end, right? Like, they're like, hey, watch me pull a rabbit out of a hat, and then they just pull a bunch of entrails out of the hat or something like that. That'd be great. There's a character I'd be into.
Yeah, because, like,
as opposed to just chomping your teeth at a random child and being like, hey, kid, check this shit out.
Yeah, like, her jump scare is, like, something that would, like, maybe be effective if the sequence of events that was happening was, like, Scarlett was, like, had wandered off and was lost in the hotel, a la The Shining. But, like, it's not. She's already running from something that she's scared of. So, like, it's... And Sally doing that is, like, unrelated to the thing she's scared of.
Spooky pit stop. Is this anything? Yeah. Like, okay, you're running away, but
she's like that.
Check in here with me. Is this anything?
She's like the annoying, like, uncle or, like, relative at, like, Thanksgiving who's like, pull my finger. Ah, come here. Here's a noogie for you, kid. Ah, get out of here. You know, but, like, horrific.
Yeah. Scarlett's like, I'm already scared of something. I don't need to be double scared, weird lady who just broke all her teeth at me.
Oh my god, my brother's a vampire. Oh, and this lady's a pain in the ass. All right, I'm out of here. I got it.
Yeah, there's like a nasty woman outside too. Great.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know. It's I want to say, like, if this were in a different context, that it would be, like, effective, but the, like, logical part of me is like, I don't like the crushing of your own teeth thing. Like, it's like they were going for it. So many times, sorry, I'm getting on my TED Talk stage really quick and putting my little headset on. So many times in American Horror Story, they try to emulate a popular trope or something they have seen in another movie or TV show that was successful, but, like, they fundamentally don't understand exactly why it, like, bothered people, like, why it was effective horror. And so I think what they were going for is teeth horror is obviously a very effective form of body horror. Even in non-horror fiction, stuff with teeth is, like, a big deal. Like, having your teeth pulled out by, like, a torture person or something, or, like, biting the curb, all that kind of stuff. But, like, the, like, fundamental dread of, like, why people have nightmares about their teeth falling out and, like, stuff like that, there's, like, a deep, rooted psychological reason why we have such a thing with teeth, and, like, her just being like, ah, nah, 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 is, like, not it. It's not.
Yeah, like, there's so many ways to do teeth horror correctly, right? Like, teeth where they shouldn't be, classic. That's a great one. Mm-hmm. If someone sticks their hand out and their hand's just made out of teeth, fuck that. I'm out.
Yeah, or too many teeth.
Or too many teeth? Yeah, she could, like, open her mouth and there's, like, three or four rows of teeth. Like, she's like a fucking lamprey or something. Yeah, absolutely. That's a fucking nightmare. As opposed to just, like, I don't know. It looks like she just, like, tried to eat a light bulb real fast. Like, she's just, like, bleeding a bunch and crunching and being like, good light bulb. You want some of this, kid?
Yeah, like, if I was Scarlett and I was running away from a vampire and already, like, you know, like, heightened awareness, heightened adrenaline, like, scurrying through this unfamiliar terrain, and a lady popped out of me with, like, blood coming out of her mouth going, nya, 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 I don't think I would be able to register, like, oh, she, like, chewed up her own teeth. And, I, like, wouldn't, you know, notice that.
You know, spoilers for future scenes, Sally will have her teeth later, so this really does come across like a Beetlejuice kind of prank, right? Like, yeah, I can just do this. You know what I mean? Like, I learned how to break my teeth for people.
Because, like, earlier, in our episode, we talked about that earlier in this episode, she, like, can't get into the fashion show, and then, like, at one point, she sees John and Scarlett get allowed into the fashion show by the guy who owns the hotel. And, like, she, like, mean mugs the kid. And I'm like, are you punishing this child for being allowed into an event that they did not, like, show up for?
Also, like, she's like a monster ghost thing, right? So, like, why does she, like, how can she can't get past this bouncer? Like, just teleport in the hotel, or, like, I'll just go up to the third floor and take the elevator down. You know what I mean? Like, why does
actually, like, I didn't think about that, but yeah, she was, like, very easily turned away by a regular human man who was just like, fuck off. And she was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, all right.
And I'm going to be mad about it.
I know, serious. Like, sorry, the Wolfman's on the list, but not you, teeth lady. Get out of here. Whatever.
So Scarlet escapes, is out of there, and then it teleports home. She just is home now. It's fine. That's how did she get there? Who knows? I guess ran the whole way. Just pure adrenaline ran all the way from downtown LA to the suburbs. You know, a nice like 13-mile jaunt. nothing too big. Nothing crazy.
Yeah,
just a quick 26 miles.
I want to say like when she goes inside, I think they establish, because when we see her, she is walking down the street. I think they establish she fucking walks home, which is...
Or at least is like walking home from a bus stop nearby, I guess, is like if we want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but like, she's now been transported back and forth betwixt the hotel and the house in like, arguably four different ways now. She has arrived to and fro four different ways.
The most maddening thing, too, is that, like, her parents have been looking for her, right? She very clearly has a phone that she tried to use to take a picture, like, one scene ago. And as you point out in the notes, Liz, no one calls her. And they do have Find My Phone. They had it since 2009. Again, you know, this is 2015. Also, if you lose a child, you are damn sure you're keeping Find My Phone on the other kid's phone. I mean, you're not sending her alone on the bus anyway, but like, that's like,
also like, I'm not even a parent, and I know kids have their damn phone on them all the time, myself included. I also have damn phone on me all the time. Like, that's the first instinct, right? Is like, call their communication device, their wristwatch or whatever. Like, fuck, how is that not on the table?
Well, nowadays it absolutely is, too. Like, okay, you know what? I think you're old enough for a phone, but as part of the rule, you keep the location on because you're, you know what I mean? Like, that's like... my kids are not at phone having age, but like one of them's got Apple Watch having age, which is absolutely like, hey, I could see that, you know, whatever. So you'd think, I don't know, whatever. I hate this show.
Well, these are the worst parents ever, who apparently just will their children away. Anytime they're by their child, they're like, I wish this kid was somewhere else. They're like the babysitter at the beginning of Labyrinth who like is so sick of dealing with a kid that David Bowie's like, I'm taking that kid. It's like the same thing, I think, where he's just like, God, I wish the Goblin King would come take my son off this carousel.
So like the thing I can't stand then in the next scene, they're like, where were you? And she's like, Holden, he's alive. I have a picture of him on the phone. But like, they don't believe her and they won't just look at the phone for the duration of the scene. And it is killing me. Like, I hate scenes
also,
like this.
Didn't John C. Holden, isn't that like the whole reason he went deep into the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
That's correct.
Yeah. So after him being on the search for Holden purely, after seeing Holden at the hotel, his daughter comes up and goes, hey, I saw Holden at the hotel. And he goes, you fucking little liar, I'll kill you. It's like really wild. Like, it's like, how dare you make us go through that again? How dare you make your mother remember that our child was horrifically stolen off of a tilt-a-whirl or whatever? Mm-hmm. Like, how dare you put us through that? And she's like, wait, didn't you say you saw him at the hotel? He's like, shut up! Holden's dead. Don't stop it. He's dead now. Forever. And like, they just don't even look at the phone. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
She doesn't. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, this is not me giving American Horror Story credit, but, like, if we're being lenient, this is not an uncommon trope. It is one of my least favorite tropes, but it's not
sucks.
An uncommon trope in horror for like somebody who has no reason to lie to be like, hey, here's some information that's very, very important to us. And like all of the other characters be like, fuck you, idiot. You're lying for like no reason.
The wild thing, though, and not to jump around a little, because at the end of the scene, like John's going to look at the phone and he's going to see the picture of her and then the other kid is blurry, which means like you didn't have to do this trope. You could just show the picture and be like, well, no, that's not him. It's probably another kid that looks like, you know what I mean? Like, you could do that. Like, you don't need like to do this whole I won't look at this phone. Are you crazy thing, you know, but
yeah. Also, like, Maybe they were just wrote bad. I don't know. They were just bad at writing dialogue. But like, they have John be like, immediately as soon as she's like, "Oh, I saw Holden at the hotel." He goes, "Holden is dead," and I'm like, "Oh, there wasn't like a body." Don't like right. most people who are missing. Don't you like consider them missing until you find a body? Like, in your mind, you can be like, "Well, they're probably dead," but to be like sure. definitively like they're dead. Is like, I don't know, kind of weird. I think maybe
no, you're right. It's just crazy,
especially to your young preteen daughter. Yeah. That just feels like a hell of an escalation to your preteen daughter. It feels like you should be nice to your preteen daughter because she's your preteen daughter. Like, you should help your kid out. They're probably struggling through. If your child comes up to you and says, "I saw my dead brother," that should be more of a sign of like, we should get a therapist, I think. Like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's just my instinct.
No, we just made sure she's vaccinated. That's the most important thing.
Thank God she doesn't have measles, mumps, or rubella, but she sees her dead brother, so who knows?
Yeah, who whatever. Knows? Are these things even worth it, you might say? And then
call
like,
me when there's a vaccine for bullshit, right, honey?
Vaccine for ghosts. yeah, so, and then after he yells, "Holden is dead," his wife Alex is like, "How could you put me through this again?" And he's like, "You blame me for Holden?" And I'm like, well, you were the one watching him, but also, she said in the last episode that she didn't blame you, so, like, I don't know why they're having, why did you have her say anything the first time, if you're just gonna have her immediately say the opposite? But that's the American Horror Story special. They love making characters say stuff that screws them out of dialogue later, because it directly contradicts something they previously said. But yeah, like you said, they look at the phone, well, they being John, looks at the phone afterwards, And he sees the picture of Scarlett with the kid in the well-lit, bright-ass, white-wall, fluorescent-lit Tetris room. And Scarlett looks normal. And Holden looks like he's going fucking goblin mode. It is funny. If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week.
I think they're trying to do the Ring-esque thing where, like, your picture's distorted if you try to take a picture of one of these vampires to make the reflection, but it really looks like just bad. It looks like when you take a motion blur picture, but it's only him, the kid, who's motion blurred, the vampire. So it looks like a mistake. You know what I mean? It doesn't look scary or disturbing. It looks like
it kind of looks like if you had like a group photo of like a bunch of people just hanging out and like standing still and like smiling at the camera, and then like one person in the photo like decided they were going to like knock over the trophy or something. So there's someone with just like full blur who like ran out of the front of the group to tackle something over, you know, like knock over the presenter or something. And it's like that level of blur. Like Tristan clearly was on the move, or not Tristan,
Holden.
Holden was clearly like on the move, like had to have moved over a foot in the time that picture was, like, someone threw that child into the photograph. That's the only way he could be this blurry.
Or he was headbanging or, like, shaking his head like a dog. Those are, like, the only options for why it would be so blurry. But, like, I don't know. It's maybe there is an iteration of this that I am not aware of or I cannot remember off the top of my head. But is not showing up in photographs a vampire thing? I thought it was just mirrors.
Reflections. It was reflections. And I think, like, in old-timey stuff, it would make more sense because a lot of old-timey photographs were, like, done through, like, reflections and stuff and, like, chemical reactions on plates and things of this nature. But less so now that it's just, like, photosensing cells, I think.
I mean, I kind of just read it as they were trying to do something creepy like that, but it could just easily be that I guess it's supposed to be his neck. He was, when he was moving toward her, the motion blur. But the problem is that, like, even if they were trying for something scary, it doesn't carry through to the point where I'm kind of like, were they? What were they doing?
It's a vibrating baby. Yeah. At the end of the day.
Well, I think they were maybe trying to, because, like I said, maybe there is an iteration of vampires where that is the case, and I just can't think of it off the top of my head. But like, I think what they were trying to emulate is in a lot of movies. I can't think of a specific one, like, directly, but like, think like Annabelle or like something like that, or like the Amityville, like something of that nature. In a lot of those films, there will be a situation where there will be a photo taken, or you will be looking at a photo, like a group photo or something, and like one character or somebody in the photo will have their face blurred out, a la Slender
the Ring.
Man.
The Ring does that a lot.
And I think maybe they were just like, yeah, that's scary. People think that's scary when it happens and stuff. So we're going to do that, but he's going to look like he's headbanging.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going with. Yeah, I think that's what I was thinking. I'm like, okay, we could do that, and we can kind of make it like these weird not vampire things we're doing, and blah, 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 but you can't tell because it just looks like motion blur. But
yeah, it looks like a kid didn't sit still for a photograph. Yeah. They did such a bad job of blurring it that it looks like a kid just didn't sit still for the photograph that was being taken of him, which he didn't, for what it's worth. He was trying to bite his sister's neck, but like, not that quickly. He kind of did it like weird and slow. I'll be real. It was hard for me to even recognize that that's what he was doing. I thought he was just like staring at her,
you
like
know,
a weird puppy.
And it's funny because, like, you know, we're talking about, like, the rules of the vampires, because that's actually the very next scene then is we go back to Tristan, who's with Lady Gaga, right? And she's telling him about his new dark gift that she gave him, that because he's a vampire now, right? And he's like, whoa, my skin looks great. Like, the meth was messing me up and all that. And she says, like, you have the virus, and now it's like super, you're like, you've got a great immune system, you're not going to get sick. And he's like, am I immortal? She's no, you can get shot. You can just die. That's not part of the package. Sorry, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, you won't age.
You have super regeneration, but if you're dead, you're dead, which really not a great, you know, initial threat level to put your main antagonist creatures at is just like, oh yeah, they're susceptible to bullets.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They at least make it silver. Like
yeah, and like a weird thing to note, like, you don't really need to, like, you could have just not said anything.
Right?
You could have just been like, I don't know, I've never tried to get shot. Like, I don't know, I'm not fucking dumb, I don't get shot a lot.
Yeah, I think that's actually how he broaches it, is he's like, oh, so will silver bullets kill me? And she's like, no, you idiot, like, everything will kill you. Like, you can just you can just die.
But it's not a stupid question at all, because the normal vampire thing is also I get, like, super speed or strength or you can't kill me. It's like, nah, you're just ageless, and you just like blood. You don't even have fangs. You know what I mean? It's like, you get, like, one-tenth of the vampire stuff, so I can't blame him at all. But,
yeah, supercharged immune system is, like, something that, like, a green smoothie would, like, write on the outside of the bottle as, like, an attribute that you would want through drinking it. Not becoming a vampire.
It's like you got supplements that actually work like they say they do, you know?
Yeah. And he even, he's just straight up like, hey, so does, like, the sun kill me? And she's like, no, the sun doesn't kill you, but it does sap your vim and vigor. And I'm like, that's me, dog. I'm just that white. I'm, like, Irish like that. The sun also saps my vitality. It's not being a vampire. It's just exhausting to be in the sun, man.
Yeah, that's either just being goth or being, like, of the very pale persuasion, realistically.
Yeah. Then they're like, yeah, they're banging in the tub, and she's like, we don't bite people, we have fangs, we just cut them and drink their blood.
Does not explain why she's like, I cannot remember off the top of my head, what is the funny vampire that's like, we don't bite, we scrape and lick, like that bit, like that, but she does it unironically. She's like, no, we don't bite, we cut and lick.
Doesn't he say something to, like, do we sleep in coffins? And she's like, I prefer, like, blackout curtains. Because, like, so he's heard of vampires in this world, too, right? Like, they know how much they suck. You know, pardon the pun. You know what I mean?
She, like, is quite literally one step away from just, like, stopping his line of questioning and being like, we're not vampires, Tristan. This isn't vampires. We're not vampires. Because, like, he's clearly asking questions about vampire stuff, which means that he is very clearly decided that what she has done to him is made him a vampire, even if she has not used those explicit terms. And she's like, no.
But like,
at what point is she just like, we're not vampires, Tristan?
It's also wild because it's a lot easier to explain it from the standpoint of vampire. I mean, like, she goes, okay, look, we're kind of like vampires, but instead they just list out everything, and you, the viewer at home, have to go like, so they're not vampires, but they're kind of like, you know, and it's like, whatever, but I can't stand this.
And
I can't stand
virus,
what they are.
When they say they're the virus.
The not pyres. Yeah, exactly. But
the virus pyres.
And so they explain that, like, no, we're not vampires, but like, it's just a little inconvenient, but also you don't age. So like, it seems like just upside, but you do have to deal with my annoying ass. So I guess that's a downside. And then it's like, hey, also, or Tristan's like, oh, cool, can we just kill whoever? I'm going to go kill Kendall Jenner. And he's like, she's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? You want to, like, what's wrong with you?
Don't
fall in love, don't get caught.
Yeah. She gives him like the most mom ass answer when he's like, ooh, can I kill Kendall Jenner? She blew me off in an event. She goes, sure you can. You just don't get caught. Like, that's the most like mom telling a kid they can eat as much candy as they want, only to watch them get sick to their stomach ass response like I've ever heard. Her whole like demeanor that she has when explaining this to Tristan is like, she has somehow been inconvenienced, even though she did this. She pursued him and was like, I'm going to make this guy a not vampire. And then he's like, oh, sick, I got made a vampire. And she's like, no, idiot, stop asking me so many questions about being a vampire. We're not vampires. Also, don't get caught. I'm not going to teach you how to not get caught, but don't get caught. You know what's really frustrating? I'm just realizing. The other thing is, she says, don't fall in love, because that's for her or whatever. The not get caught thing is, up until now, we've only known Tristan for roughly 10 minutes of television. All we know about Tristan is that he is the least subtle person alive. Probably.
He's been caught multiple times before we even realized being caught was on the table. Like, he had a ghost of an old timey guy come out and go, hey, I caught you fucking around in my shit. You want to kill this lady?
I also think it's funny, he never brings that up, like, to her when he's like asking all these questions. He's like, oh, okay, so like, we're, I'm a vampire or not vampire now, that's cool. Before we have sex for the 18th time in this scene, I did see a guy who looked like he was from, like, the 1500s to maybe 1800s, and he did kill a lady. Is he of not vampire? Is that why he looks like that? Is that anything? He never brings it up. I feel like, regardless of who met me in the elevator, that's the first thing I'm telling them. I'm going to be like, hey. You can make me a vampire, whatever. There is a guy in that room back there who just, straight up executed a woman for no reason. Do we need to be worried about that? But he never brings it up. Fortunately for him, it isn't, I guess, a problem for him anymore. Even though we did just establish he can die to a gun, and that is how he killed that lady. He's not super worried about it. He thinks it's fine that that guy's in the hotel and doesn't think anybody else needs to know about it. But yeah, she goes through the like the whole spiel, and this is the part where she's also like, yeah, you have to drink blood, by the way. You can drink from anybody, but they can't have a disease and they can't be dead for like a long time.
They can't be dead. Which the dead part is really a problem, because they do harvest the blood out of people explicitly by killing them. I'm not confused there when they like slash people's throats and then they bleed out on the floor and are dead, and then they drink out of them. And especially because we know that whatever happens when someone dies, it happens like the nanosecond they die, because the children were having a suck and then they were like,
yuck,
oh, this one's no good, gross, yucky. And then Esther's like, oh, it's because he's dead, stupid. He just died.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, they have shot themselves in the foot by having these like weird sexy scenes where the vampire, not vampire people, like kill them and then roll around in their blood as they're having sex and whatever. They've kind of shot themselves in the foot by having that. and also having there be like a weird harvesting thing that Iris does where she gets blood bags for the, I guess, the babies or whatever. Because they could, like, if this were a better show and they hadn't included that, it could be argued that it's a more traditional vampire situation where, like, they're not actually drinking, like, the blood. Like, if they were really going for an Elizabeth Bathory thing, or, like, a vampire thing, it could be argued that, like, oh, they're not going for the blood. It's not really, like, the physical blood that's the issue. It's, like, the vitality inside of it, the essence of life. But they completely threw that out the window by having the scenes of Lady Gaga and what's-his-name rolling around in the blood of the couple that they killed and licking it off of their dead bodies.
It's just, And there's stuff later coming also that is going to mess with it, too, which, like, you know. So it's all over the place. It's not internally consistent. And then, we also, we get, like, the dimes, like, the, we have Anne Rice at home, or the early Anne Rice at home, where it's like, okay, here's a quick overview of my history since I was born in 1904. There was a really handsome guy who made me a vampire. You know, we'll just kind of gloss over that. And my favorite time was when I was at a disco, and then they show her at a disco on a horse in the dance floor. And I wasn't around in the 70s, but I am pretty...
Horse in the damn club.
Pretty sure that's not a good... That can't happen, you know?
Yeah.
There's no blinders that work in a disco. But yeah.
They want to, like, bring her on as, like, oh, she was a disco queen or something. But then her reasoning for it is, like, everyone was just hanging out at night. It was cool to just be in the club at night. And I'm like... That's still the same. That actually did not change at all. There are still clubs that are open at night. I know. I've been fucked up in them. Like, yeah, those still exist. Like, especially in Europe. In some parts of Germany, they still have those, like, clubs that just don't really close, like, functionally, where you can just be there for, like, a week.
You got Las Vegas. It might even be better than this, you know? But, like...
Yeah, Las Vegas, you can fucking go, like, underground from one hotel to another. There's, like, you can explicitly not go outside in Vegas if you so choose.
Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
I was just thinking, because, like, in the scene where she's like, I loved the 70s because I could just, like, eat people in the club and no one cared. It made me think, because previously, in the previous scene, she says, don't eat anybody who's dead or diseased. You can't tell that most people have a disease if they've got a disease. Is that not a problem? Is that not a problem for the not vampires that they, oh no, this one had cancer. Like, I couldn't see it because it's not visible. Oh no.
Or like very explicitly, you know, what would have been happening probably around the area of the disco and the thing she was, you know, the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's fine. She doesn't give a shit. So, yeah, it was cool. Everyone was hanging out at night, so it was normal for me to be hanging out at night, to which I say, get different friends. And, yeah, so Donovan walks in and goes, yeah, he won't last a week. And then Tristan says, say it to my face. And Donovan goes, I did say it. What are you talking about? Like, oh, my God, you're so dumb. And then Lady Gaga breaks up with Donovan, which is really just confusing and out of nowhere and really making me hate Lady Gaga's character in this, because she just does that and Donovan's like, hey, what? That's crazy. Like, you know, like, our whole setup, right? Like, I can't just go do this somewhat. Like, you gave me the eternal virus. You kind of have to take responsibility. And then Lady Gaga goes, actually, it isn't the killing and sex that makes you good as a vampire. It's how many heartbreaks you go through. And he goes, that's stupid. You're stupid.
It's not even the stupidest thing, though, because in the next scene, John goes into the hotel and he goes like, Iris, what the fuck? My kid came here and had a rough time. Why weren't you watching her? What? But okay, you know. And then he handcuffs Iris, like, there's crazy stuff going on in the hotel, and I'm going to bring you downtown. She's like, okay, like, I don't know, how are you going to explain why you're arresting me? And he's like, yeah, you got me there. And she's like, listen, how about this? we'll go to the bar, we'll grab a drink, and I'll give you a history of the hotel. He's like, yeah, that works. So, like, they do. I don't think I'm glossing over too much there, because, like, they're there, and she's like, here's the deal. This is, so she starts telling him about James March, and she goes, and I didn't know this, apparently, based on real-life serial killer H.H. Holmes, who built
the
murder
castle. Yeah, wanted to have a real guy, but they chickened out and made a fake guy based on a real guy. He's based off of H.H. Holmes, who was, like, one of the most notorious serial killers of the early 1900s, who built, like, he didn't build the Hotel Cortez, but he built, like, a big fucked up and evil hotel that it was thought that he was, like, hiding bodies in and, like, keeping people trapped inside of and stuff like that. A lot was proven, a lot wasn't proven, but it's a very infamous thing. There's been a lot of horror movies based off of it. I think they're also a little bit pulling from not just this, but, like, the Winchester Mansion. I think they maybe might be conflating those two things in their mind when they describe what James March has done. Because, like, the Doors to Nowhere and whatnot, that's Winchester Mansion. That's a different thing. That was
he
a crazy lady.
I wanted to build the perfect place for murder. See, you can just hide the bodies anywhere, you know. But, like, and you know what, dude? This is shot, I guess, like a silent film, this part, because it takes place back in the 20s or whatever. But it also is not lit very well and has none of that modern stuff. So it's, like, impossible to see this fucking flashback. Everything
is so dark. It
is
the worst this show has ever been when it comes to, like, not having visibility. For some reason, they're like, sometimes we don't put a filter over our flashbacks. But for this one, we're going to put the worst filter that exists over it, and not only make it be extremely poor quality film, but also so dark that you have to have your eyes maybe a centimeter away from your screen to be able to see a semblance of anything happening. You know how people complain nowadays, and I agree, that, like, too many shows on Netflix or, like, Hulu are, like, too dark and, like, it's hard to see stuff? Imagine that, but, like, you slapped on top of that the worst black and white old-timey silent film filter that you'd ever seen on top of it.
It starts off, too, so, like, they're building the hotel, and the architect's like, you know, Mr. March, this can't be right. You got all weird, like, shoots everywhere, and little Elway goes, oh, that is interesting. That's an old version of the blueprint. Come in, follow me. Good thing you pointed this out to me. Now that we're alone, I'm going to murder you. And he kills the architect, which kind of, like, is like, but now who's going to do it?
And so why? He has to hire a new- and yeah, why did you, like, kill him just for being like, hey, are you sure you want that door going to a wall? Are you sure this is right?
Yeah.
The next guy he hires is going to have the same question. He didn't solve a problem here, you know, but...
Yeah, that's really the big thing is, yeah, it's like, hey, you have a shoot going to a room you have labeled body disposal. Is that, like, needed? You know? Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, why don't you check it out?
This guy for... Yeah, kills him for finding out his terrible secret of writing down that he has a murder room, which, yeah, I get, like, don't do that, I guess. Like, just label it storage.
And she's like, and they go to a scene where he's, like, bricking a lady up because it's the murder hotel. So this lady's in the wall. It's like, no, please. And he, like, shoves a gag in her mouth, and then this other mysterious woman who we only see from the back and whose voice is a little obscured is like, no, let her scream. I like the sound of that. And I'm like, I don't know who that could be. Anyway, so he continues to wall her up. And it's like, I don't remember, honestly, if it's for real, but how can this not be Lady Gaga? Like, how can it not be the Countess? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's a dead giveaway because for some reason, and I forgot how bad it is, and this is just a very specific type of hyperfixation that I would focus on, and I did. They did just a piss-poor job of giving Lady Gaga a wig in this, and it is so obviously a wig, and they don't do jack or shit to, like, smooth it down or tame the flyaways or try to make it look like real hair. It's very stiff and rigid and is so obviously a wig. And in the scene where we're looking at the back of the mysterious wife also has that same wig. So, and speaks with A very familiar voice. That is, I think, the funniest thing to me is that this show is like, we're going to have all these like mysteriously shrouded figures in our show. But also we have an ensemble cast slash a cast that has a very recognizable set of voices. And we're not going to have them even try to to hide their voices. Just like in Asylum where they didn't have the guy who played the main character in season one try to hide his voice even a little bit. So it was super obvious it was him on the phone and he was the real killer. Like, they don't even have the characters try or the actors try to hide their voices. So it's so obviously Lady Gaga talking and it's her crunchy ass wig. It's yeah. This is where we see that the guy who was wearing the reverse bear trap and the hostel apron from previously is actually James March. I don't think it ever explains why he's wearing this weird reverse bear trap helmet. He likes it, I guess.
Yeah. It's just cool. Yeah,
he thinks
like,
it looks neat.
Having sex with some lady, stabs her with his blade. He's like, ah, Miss Everett. And then the maid's there, Miss Evers, and she's into this. It is wild to me that he found the one maid in California who's like, yeah, I would love to be part of a serial killer hotel. Say no more.
Yeah, like she explicitly like, so he kills the lady he's having sex with and goes, ugh, can't believe this shit. That light fixture sucks ass, which also is another thing that made me go like, I like this guy. he's funny. He makes me laugh. He's like a little clown. Just, yeah, having a very goofy response. And then, yeah, she comes in and she's just like, oh, what a resplendent stain, sir. I'll clean it right away. Like, she just really loves the challenge. I get it.
Oh, man. So... So yeah, and then like Iris is talking about like this like little montage, and then he just has two dudes, he just lines them up, and then he kills them with a croquet mallet, in the bathroom. Why did they let that happen? Who knows? They did though. It's fine. But the second guy is like, you know what? It'll be okay. I believe in God, and everything will be fine. And Mark's like, well, nothing for me to do then than kill God. You know. Thanks
you know,
for
normal
that,
things.
Iris.
Yeah, normal yeah. things that people say.
Yeah, how did Iris learn all this? Who knows? I mean, maybe March told her at the bar. Maybe there's just like, I feel like telling you my story, human lady who lives here or whatever, who works the front desk.
He seems like the type who would do that. His like final deal is that I don't know why he does this. He like puts some dead bodies in an apple orchard with all of the he gets tilted. He gets butthurt about the God statement, and then he's like, give me all the Bibles. I'm going to put all the Bibles outside with the dead bodies that I'm going to make for the public, and that's definitely not going to get me caught.
That guy had hope, and if I know there's hope out there, I can't get hard, so we need to like put Bibles in the woods.
Why?
It's like, all right, man.
But
why
did you build this hotel with all these things if you're going to put the bodies outside, though? Like, that was the whole point of building the hotel, that it made murder easier, but whatever, because he was sloppy. Even Iris says so, and they find his monogrammed handkerchief on one of the bodies, so...
That's like the worst thing you could do is have a monogrammed handkerchief and lose it on top of one of the bodies that you made. Like, that's no wonder this guy had to build a building to do his serial killing.
The only way it'd be worse is like if you had someone like popping that like little victory pose, someone like squatting over someone else's grave, but it's just like a pile of corpses. Like, that's the only real way you could get busted worse, I think.
They walk up and it's that old timey photograph happening with him doing that, like with the flash powder burning and everything. Like, cheese it.
Cheese it, boys, it's the fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the handkerchief is a problem, though, because now the police show up to the hotel to arrest him, and the maid's like, yeah.
They take so long, because she's like, they're right outside, sir. I think the jig is up. And he's like, all right. And he pulls out, like, shears and a gun. And he's like, what are we going to do here? Like, I will kill you first. Or something. She's like, it would be an honor, sir. And then, so they go back and forth a little with, I'll shoot myself, could you shoot me? And he shoots her. The police still have not broken into this room, even after the gunshot or whatever. So then he slits his all throat, and that's the end of James March, I guess. But, like, I don't know.
Were there not two bullets? Why did it have to be one or the other? Like,
right?
He's like, which one do you want? And she's like, ooh, I think it would be an honor for you to finish me off, for me to be your last victim. That's how she talks, by the way.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. And then he just shoots her. And she's like, ooh. And then he's like, well, guess the shears are for me then. And I'm like, it seems like gun for both of you was a better option.
Well, the thing is, during the whole scene, I'm like, logistically, he has to shoot her because it's going to be a pain in the ass, like, while the police are breaking in to try to pry the gun out of her hand if she shoots herself to shoot himself. But then when he shoots her, I'm like, oh, okay, problem solved. But then no, because Uno reversi, he just slits his own throat. And I'm like, all right, fine, forget it. I don't know what you do, you American Horror Story.
I feel like it'd be really hard to just, like, do that on impulse. But I guess he's, like, a nasty man, so he doesn't really have a problem cutting his own throat. I feel like I would be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, not to be morbid, but there are, like, certain methods of, like, offing yourself that, like, your internal survival instincts will override your ability to do in most circumstances.
Well, especially if you, like, as soon as the knife gets the neck, like, ow, oh my god, that hurts so bad. You know what I mean? Like, you...
oh, shit, this sucks. Okay, you know what? Never mind, actually. This seems ass.
Let me get another bullet after all.
People, this sucks. They always
Second bullet in here. Stupid me.
As he's bleeding out, he looks at the gun and realizes that it's just full. It just has all of the bullets in it. And he's like, aw, beans.
He's like suffocating on the blood entering his trachea. Like, I really fucked this up. This is stupid. I can't believe what an idiot I am. Oh, jeez.
My God. And that's the fucking flashback of James March. And John's like, wow, you're so full of shit, Iris. And I'm like, well, maybe, but, like, also, what does that have to do with your kid? That was, like, what you asked was, hey, what's going on with my kid and my weird dead son that might be here? And you just told me about a guy I don't fucking know or care about.
She's like, but you know what? I was going to arrest you, but it was an okay story, so I guess I'll just leave.
Yeah, and, also, it's okay that you don't know anything about my daughter. I've decided. It's fine that I've decided I'm okay with that now.
And the one hard piece of information we glean from this that might be relevant is the whole room 64 of, like, oh, we don't usually put people in room 64. It's because that was James March's room, which is insane, by the way, that the owner of the hotel doesn't have a penthouse suite. That's crazy. That is not, like, top floor looks over the whole building. Like, no, what? Like, you're not even being a rich guy, right, man? Come on.
Yeah, but this was the part of the episode where I groaned because I realized there's still episode left, because that seemed like an ending point. It's not. There's still episode left. This, for some reason, the story immediately makes John go back to the police station, and he's like, hey, other detective whose name I think is Andy? Hey, what's up? And then that detective is like, hey, we have the murder weapon. And I'm like, yeah, we've established that like 6 times. The thing that wasn't a bomb was the murder weapon from episode 1. Like, we got it. We got it. We are on the same page. And he's like, hey, I don't give a shit about that. Do you know who James March is? And the other detective is like, what the fuck are you talking about, John? And John's like, hey, this lady at the hotel I'm staying at just told me about this old guy who built, like, a murder hotel, and that's where I'm staying. I think that this guy who's been killing people is related to that guy who was killing people.
You know, it never hit me, but from Andy's perspective, I'd just be like, wait, rewind a little. You're staying at the hotel? This guy is... Like, yeah, keep up. Anyway, yeah, his name's James March, okay.
Yeah, circling
and
back.
So this James March guy, so you're telling me he was a Ten Commandments killer and only got through, like, one or two of them before he got caught? Oh, no, he just randomly killed people willy-nilly, like probably 100 or 200 or something. But I think this guy's continuing his themed killings. Wait, but he didn't do themed killings. Yeah, that's right. Wait. What was he continuing? You know what? Now that you mention it, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I have to get back home, which is the murder hotel that I live in now.
Andy just slowly guiding him out of his own office, like, okay, Grandpa, let's get you back to bed. Nurse, he's loose again. Yeah, so John has decided now that the guy who is antagonizing him is, quote-unquote, continuing James March's legacy. Citation fucking needed. I don't know. This either means that John is the single best detective that has ever lived in the history of detectives, or is the worst detective that has ever lived in the history of detectives. And at this point, it's not clear which one it is.
I know where I'm leaning.
I know where I'm leaning, too. But then we have one last scene, and it's...
It seems like so unnecessary.
It is.
You know, because it's like...
There is one scene, there's one bit of this that's very funny.
Yeah, that's fair. So, all right, fair.
Tristan is cruising through Grindr, just really swiping right with the best of them, being like, you know what? I'm getting someone in here. And this fella shows up and he's got some funny suspenders and a man bun and he's having a cool time. They show up at the hotel. They start having a little makeout session in the elevator. And then they get up to Tristan's room and they're sleeping in bed together. And then Lady Gaga like shows up like a crystal peacock like through the door. And, then the guy is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No vagina. I'm like actually super gay and not even in the same room. Thank you.
I didn't sign up for vag. Kill him. I didn't sign up for vag action, which is incredible. That's the line.
I didn't sign up for vag action. What an insane thing to say.
And yet it was said.
Yeah. Me when I go to my primary care physician and they asked if I've had my like yearly pap smear and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't sign up for any badge action. Yeah, they murder that guy. And I guess drink his blood. I don't know. They murder that guy.
Probably.
I would hope. I mean, you know, it's the whole
which
point.
Which is weird because, like, even if they didn't, this means that, like, Tristan's, like, super on board with murdering people. But, like, literally 35 seconds ago when James March was like, hey, do you want to murder this lady? He was like, fuck no. What's wrong with you? Weird change of heart from Tristan to be like, no, I'm not fucking killing anybody, to being like, how can I lure a man here off of Grindr to murder him in cold blood for no reason, because I don't think that I would be needing blood yet. I've only been a not vampire for 25 minutes. Doesn't matter. End of the episode. Ta-da.
We did it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Did we establish any? Did the plot move forward in any meaningful way? John has what he thinks is a lead, I guess.
Yeah. Holden, Holden already existed in the hotel in episode one. Tristan is here instead of Donovan. I don't think this changes anything, but that did happen.
The hotel has laundry chutes, but ones I guess that were architected for murder. That didn't even need to be a thing, but whatever.
Yeah. There was a old-timey man who loved to kill people, and that was like his whole thing. He just loved doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And his maid really loves cleaning stuff. Like, she's weird about it. I cannot overstate. I don't even know if we mentioned it. I cannot overstate that the maid's deal is not that she likes the murder. She really likes doing the laundry. Like, she's got like a weird laundry thing and she just really loves doing the laundry for the murder man. That is I can only presume going to be relevant later.
I genuinely don't remember, but I don't even want that backstory, you know? Like, I don't know if it's there. I really don't. Like, I don't remember if they try it, but like, I don't, you know, I don't need a reason, but I know this is the series that will give it to me.
You know what the title of the next episode is?
Mm-hmm.
Regrettably, yeah, I looked ahead. You wanna say it? I'm usually the one who says pervert stuff in a nasty voice.
I don't particularly want to say it, but I will.
Yeah, it's okay.
The episode's name for the next episode, episode three, is Mommy, which I'm
Mommy.
Sure will
yeah,
be normal
for some reason.
And not
no,
weird.
No, and thank you.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get the exciting conclusion of the vaccination plotline.
Thank God.
Currently, the only mom directly involved in the show is the one who, like, goes to a, like, apparently just, like, throws a dart at a dartboard, goes to someone's house and is like, okay, I'll treat your sick kid. God damn it, they're not vaccinated either, son of a bitch! Mom with the worst job of all time. What an idiot. Well... Till next time, everybody. Look forward to episode 3, Mommy, next time. Have a good evening, everybody. Take easy.